You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. For the best tasting protein bar on the market, go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON20 and get 20% off your next order over at BuiltBar.com. Thank you for joining us. My name is John Williams. You can find me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me today, as he does every day, is former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_Walk74. You can also hear him on the Iron Horse podcast with NFL cornerback Brandon Carr. David, what is going on, sir?
Well, John, I'm sitting here getting ready for round two of Bedlam and trying to process everything that went down on Saturday in that overtime thriller at Lloyd Noble Center. But yeah, happy to be talking Sooner Athletics with you on a Monday, man.
Yeah, so we'll touch on the Oklahoma loss to Oklahoma State in overtime from Saturday. We'll also talk to a Sooners Wire article that ranked the top 13 NFL draft picks of the Super Bowl era. We'll also touch on a few news and notes from the Oklahoma Athletic Department in the third segment. But David, first of all, man, Cade Cunningham, What else can you say about the guy? He's a good basketball player. Obviously that's an understatement.
Yeah. He's pretty good at the old basketball. I think the silver lining there, if you're a Sooner fan and a Thunder fan, is, man, it sure would be nice to have Kate Cunningham and SGA playing together for the next 5 or 6 years. And the Thunder have all the resources in the world to try to make that happen, to trade up in the draft, or maybe they get lucky and get him in the draft, but that's for another time. In the short term, man, like, he just put on a show for the wrong team at Lloyd Noble. Yeah. We like a guy dropping 40 at Lloyd Noble, but we typically like that to be like Blake Griffin, Buddy Hill, Trey Young, not necessarily a guy wearing orange and black, but that was a performance for the ages, really. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why Oklahoma lost this basketball game. And there's a lot of Sooner fans jumping to some really extreme conclusions at the end of this game. I saw a lot of frustrated tweets, which is really interesting because I felt like the ratio of frustrated tweets this week with a loss to Kansas State and a loss to Oklahoma State dwarfed the amount of excited positive tweets I saw on the rise to the top 10. It's like everybody's kind of like, oh, they kind of slept on them for a while. Then all of a sudden, once they got really good, they expected something different of this team. Mm-hmm. Because the number in front of their name.
Right.
And the reality is, John, like you and I have talked about for months now, and even going back to my season preview episode of the men's basketball team, is this team was the sum of its parts, but this team was needing to be led by two guys, Austin Reeves and Brady Manick. And through this whole rise to the top 10, Austin Reeves has carried his weight and then some.
Yeah.
And Brady Manick has not. And at the end of this game, Austin Reeves tried to go get some buckets, tried to force some stuff, arguably, tried to get some foul calls that he typically gets. And I felt like he didn't get the benefit of the whistle that Cade Cunningham got. I feel like Cade Cunningham got superstar treatment, and rightfully so. But Cade Cunningham just might be the Big 12 player of the year this year. And he doesn't get that same benefit of the whistle. It's almost like he's so good at drawing fouls in a similar way, differently, but similar to the way that James Harden does it in the NBA. They seek the foul so much that sometimes what happens in conference play, and this is something I learned from coaching college basketball that I didn't know before I got into that world, is that when you're in college basketball conference play, you're seeing the same officiating crews a lot. And they might not be the exact same crew, but you're seeing different guys on different nights in different arenas, and you see them, you know, every other week, and they start to know your game. They know your tendencies. They know what you're trying to get done. And I think sometimes a guy like Austin Reeves, the deeper it gets into conference play, your style of play, the referees are kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'm not giving you that whistle. And he doesn't adjust. They adjust to him, and he doesn't adjust to how the game's being called sometimes. I think that's a thing that will be better for him once they get into the NCAA tournament. He starts getting these neutral referees that haven't called his games for 3 years. I think that's going to be a benefit to him as the tournament, you know, comes around. But in the short term, some of the reactions I was seeing on Sooner Twitter were, you know, that basically that Austin Reeves just trying to be the Austin Reeves show, that he's hurting this team and everything. And it's like, man, this team wouldn't be anywhere close to where they are without Austin Reaves.
Yeah, and if they're not going to get any consistent secondary scoring, what do you expect the guy to do? Like, yeah. I mean, and you know, it is what it is. And I think to your point, especially in a big time matchup like Bedlam is, a lot of times you're not going to get the benefit of 50-50 calls at times. And again, to your point, Austin Reaves has to figure out how to adjust to that and to adjust to the officiating. If they're not going to be calling stuff like they have been most of the year, then he's got to figure out another way to win. But really, I think what Sooner fans need to take away from this game is that, I mean, Cade Cunningham had a game for the ages, like you mentioned, and they still had a chance in overtime. And the Sooners let another lead slip away in the second half. And that's, to me, that's becoming a trend that is pretty disturbing. They had a 10-point lead at one point, and Oklahoma State was able to reverse that and flip that. And then Oklahoma had to battle back to force it to overtime. And so I think that's one of those things that they're going to have to figure out over the next, you know, week, 2 weeks before we get into March Madness, is how do they hold on to those leads and pull out those victories down the stretch.
Two words on that. Defensive rebounding. This team down the stretch in games, even going back to the game at West Virginia that they were fortunate to survive, their defensive rebounding has been atrocious at times. Mm-hmm. And look, man, not to beat the same drum every single time we talk about this team, but Brady Manick playing the four or the five, which he's primarily been starting him at the five, Coach Kruger starting him at the five, they're going small. His defensive rebounding has been terrible down the stretch. Once again, coming into this last game, the man had scored 6 points in the last two games combined against the two worst teams in the Big 12. Going into the last 5 minutes of regulation against Oklahoma State, Manick had been sitting out, and shoot, I mean, when Dick Vitale wasn't so busy giving Cade Cunningham's life story and telling random stories, like Dick Vitale, I used to love the man, but like it's brutal right now. Him calling a game remotely should never happen again. It was just, the guy was all over the place. They talked about everything except the action that was happening. But they did find some time to talk about Brady Manick's struggles. And I'm sitting there watching the game unfold thinking he might not go back in the game. Kirkquith was playing pretty well. He was attacking the offensive glass, had all kinds of dunk putbacks. And
it was Lob City.
Yeah, he was. Kirkquith had one of the best games I've seen him have. And they checked Brady Manick in the game just under 5 minutes to play. And at the time he came back in the game, he had 1 point and two rebounds. Like, he had one more point than a dead man going into the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And that, again, this is our second four-year guy, senior leader, Brady Manick, that we expected so much from. And now going into that last 5 minutes, he was 7 points in the last three games. Now, did he finish the game on a positive note? Did he get a putback to tie the game to go to overtime? Yes. Could most of the players on the team have taken that pass from Austin Reaves and stuck it off the glass? Yes. But he did hit a big three down the stretch in overtime. Like, he made some plays. He finished with 8 points. But for us to sit here and act like, wow, man, he really came on strong to finish with 8 points and five rebounds. I mean, that's just not what they need from him. And now, again, then Austin Reaves steps up to the podium. He owns the loss, says he took some bad shots. He forced some stuff, said it was on him. And that's fine. But, like, this decline in defensive rebounding, when you're the five and you have five rebounds, and literally they couldn't – I don't even know if they got a stop in overtime. I feel like the only shots Oklahoma State missed, they got an offensive rebound on. And yeah. then down the stretch in the very last possession that really mattered, OU's down by two, long rebound, Brady Manick's guy on the backside, he barely blocks out, doesn't make any contact whatsoever. He reaches back with one hand, doesn't get his butt on the guy to drive him out of the play. So a horrible block out leads to a long rebound hustle play that they run down on the sideline. They call timeout with 19 seconds left, and it was game over. But that was Brady Manick's rebound to get. And he doesn't get it because it was a toughness play. It was an effort play that he has not made for this team in like 2 months. So that, again, when I look at Bedlam tonight and Gallagher Iba, that type of effort, that lack of intensity, that lack of aggression, that lack of physicality will get them beat tonight in Stillwater if they don't fix that particular part of it. Now, you mentioned not having a secondary scoring that's consistent. And that's pretty much been true. I mean, you got a pretty good game from Davion Harmon on Saturday. I think he finished with 23 points, had a really good first half. But he's inconsistent. Moji Gibson has had flashes, but he's inconsistent. Elijah Harkless has, you know, 10 points. He gets you some stuff here and there, but he's inconsistent. the only consistent thing you have is Austin Reeves. So for some of the Sooner fans to be frustrated by how he plays or whatever, look, man, like that's who they got, right? That's the only guy that can create his own offense consistently. Mm-hmm. The only guy that's going to go like all out and leave it on, like wear his emotion on his sleeve and really like you, do you watch that guy for 40 minutes and you think, look, I don't know much about this game or this team. You can be like really ignorant about basketball, but you can watch that team play and say, man, you know what? I don't know a lot, but I know that Reeves dude, like he wants to win and he's balling to try to win. And at the end of the day, perfect, imperfect, could be better, could be worse. Like that's the guy that I want to have the ball in their hands down the stretch in games. So it's going to be interesting to see if adjustments are made, if they try to, you know, maybe send two guys at Cade Cunningham, get the ball out of his hands. I think that would have been a nice adjustment they could have made down the stretch that they didn't make. I don't think they want to let Cade Cunningham go for 40 tonight here on Big Monday. So it'll be interesting to see if Oklahoma makes some defensive adjustments and if some other guys step up. And primarily, again, I want to see Brady Manick play better.
And you hate to call any game that's not a knockout game a must-win game, but really Oklahoma, they need a win and they need to go on the road and they need to get this win against Oklahoma State tonight. It's not killer to their season if they lose it, but it puts them now fighting with Texas Tech for sixth in the standings all of a sudden, where a week and a half ago you're sitting at second and looking really good. I mean, we talked about it on the show, looking really good with the rest of your schedule. And now, man, I don't know. The rest of the Big 12 is starting to figure it out. Kansas State starting to play much better basketball. Baylor, they're out of COVID protocol. It's not going to be long before they're rolling again as well. You know, Texas Tech is finding their stride. Texas won't stay down for long. And then you got Oklahoma State playing great basketball too. And so Oklahoma needs to figure some things out if they want to have a chance in the Big 12 tournament coming up and just not long from now. But we'll have more to say about that. We'll definitely give you our thoughts on Monday night's matchup on the Tuesday show. So make sure you are subscribed to the Locked On Sooners podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And coming up next, we're going to dig back into the archives a little bit. The Sooners Wire over at usatoday.com put out an article ranking the top 13 draft picks in the Super Bowl era. And we're going to go through that list. And then coming up in the third segment, we are going to just throw a few shout outs out to the Oklahoma Athletic Department. Some big things happened over the weekend. We want to make sure you are aware of that. We'll do that coming up on the Locked On Sooners podcast. But first, let me talk to you a little bit about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Major League Baseball is right around the corner, and you can even get in on future college football bets. You can lay down money on Oklahoma's chances to win the national championship, Spencer Rattler's odds to win the Heisman in 2021. BetOnline even has you covered for award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to get your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. So go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
And we're covering everything you need to know about the Oklahoma Sooners. But what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, we are back here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. And before we get into the top 13 Oklahoma Sooner draft picks from the Super Bowl era, article written by Barry Werner over at the Sooners Wire at USA Today.com. David's got a few more thoughts he'd like to share on Bedlam. So, David, take it away, man.
Well, this is just kind of like real talk right now. All right. So,
real talk with D-Walk.
Let's do that for a minute. So, Oklahoma State, like, you know, we talked about Cade Cunningham in the first segment. I'm just sitting here as we went to break, and I'm thinking about Cade Cunningham. And I'm also thinking about the fact that Oklahoma State is technically has a postseason ban this year. You know why they have that, John? You know what they did?
No, tell me.
They cheated, okay? Like, they had recruiting violations. Like, they were cheating. So you can say, well, you know, whatever they did, it wasn't that big of a deal. Maybe it's going to get appealed. And, you know, we don't really know what happened. Okay, here's what I know. They were given a postseason ban by the NCAA. Okay. And here's what I also know is that they hired Cade Cunningham's brother to be an assistant coach. He's 27 years old. Great opportunity for him, right? Awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, great player at SMU. Spent a year playing overseas. All of a sudden, a year before Cade Cunningham is able to sign with Oklahoma State, he gets hired as an assistant coach at Oklahoma State.
Interesting.
Now he's in his second season at Oklahoma State. And Cade Cunningham is, you know, obviously a Cowboy. And Cade signs with Oklahoma State before the postseason ban was given, right? So, like, there's that. Well, he stuck with his commitment and he stayed at Oklahoma State. Well, I wonder why he do that. Well, because his brother's an assistant coach. Well, that's kind of convenient, right?
Right.
You know what else is convenient? Is that Oklahoma State has entered an appeal to try to get their postseason ban overturned. And because of a combination of things, one, because of COVID delaying processes, and two, because the NCAA takes forever to even, like, I don't know, do anything. They haven't made a decision on that yet. So Oklahoma State is technically eligible for postseason play until the appeal process plays out. So if their appeal is not heard before March Madness starts, they get to go ahead and play, which to me is insane. It is insane. And I feel like this is really an annoying situation that Oklahoma State is setting here. They got the best player in America. No doubt about it. I'm not going to debate it. I got no reason to debate it. I hope the guy's a Thunder player for years to come, if I'm being honest. And I actually like the way Cade Cunningham plays. I like the way he carries himself. I mean, I'm sitting there like, he's a hard guy to dislike. Just if I'm watching that, how he scored 40 and the way he carried himself, I mean, he did things the right way. I don't got any beef with him personally. But the situation, I think the situation sucks. Because Oklahoma State's sitting here with a team that's 16-6, impacting the Big 12 race, and potentially going to go get to play in the NCAA tournament because they've got the best player in the country. So the NCAA, it's in their best interest to say, well, you know, we don't really have time to hear this appeal. So maybe we'll ban them from the postseason next year when Cade Cunningham's not there anymore. And nobody will care about Oklahoma State basketball again, because Sooner fans, like, take comfort in this. This is a one-year thing, okay? Like, this was like, we're going to hire his brother. We're going to get him for one season. He's going to go to the NBA. He's going to give us a little bit of credibility for a year, and he's going to be gone. So unlike how Trae Young came in for 1 year, Oklahoma rebounded quickly because they have an amazing coach and a really good program. Oklahoma State has no staying power in this conversation. So this is a 1 year deal. They made their bed with Cade Cunningham. They got his brother. They did all that cool stuff. That's great. But they also made their bed by getting that postseason ban that they earned. They earned that with their allegations, with the things they did wrong. So the fact that they're going to sit here and skate by and get the benefit of the doubt because they happen to have the best player in the country, like, I think that's a bunch of crap. So that's one part of Bedlam. The second part of Bedlam is the reaction of Oklahoma fans to this situation, acting like, you know, oh, Kruger lose all these games, we're supposed to win. Like, man, look, I'm talking to you, Sooner fan, that's not very the Sooner fan that's not being objective or realistic about the talent level on this team. This is not a great basketball team that Lon Kruger has got into the top 10. This is a team that's kind of a band of misfits, honestly. They got transfers from everywhere. They got a bunch of guys that were under-recruited that he's developed into being pretty good players, but they're not the number seven team in the country talent-wise, period. I don't care what number you put in front of their name. If you put any top 25 number in front of their name, they're probably overrated when it comes to the talent level. So to overreact and be like, oh, well, we should have beat this team. We should not have beat that team. Oklahoma State has a more talented team than us this year. So tonight, when you're watching them play at Gallagher, I don't care what the rankings say tomorrow. They're not the most talented team. They might be better coached, which is why they have a number in the first place. But stop overreacting and acting like, well, you know, Kruger can't win the big ones. Like he's doing a heck of a job. Austin Reeves is doing a heck of a job. Relax. Don't expect more of them just because they've overplayed themselves into this situation. Don't expect them to be something that they're not. Right? They're a good team that's overachieved. Enjoy it for what it is. If they make a run in the Big 12 tournament, March Madness, enjoy it, but don't act like this is Lincoln Riley with the Heisman Trophy winner and the great team that should be competing for the national title. Like they're exceeding expectations. Don't forget about that just because they've risen to some national prominence here. They're still who they are talent-wise. Just enjoy the ride. Relax. You want to direct some ire at somebody, direct it to the NCAA, direct it to Oklahoma State, getting the benefit of the doubt, that's fine. But let's be realistic when we evaluate this Oklahoma basketball team.
Yeah, it seems like maybe that appeal process got lost in the mail somewhere, or it's sitting at the bottom of the pile of their appeal process. They're going to hear out maybe Northeast Western Arkansas A&M before they hear out Oklahoma State. And you know what? Not to play conspiracy theorists, because you know we're not going to do that here on the show. But I mean, they have a lot of motivation to have Cade Cunningham in the tournament in a year where attendance is down across the country because of COVID-19. The NCAA and the networks got to find revenue wherever they can. And more eyes watching Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State basketball games means more revenue through advertising, means more money for the NCAA and the schools. So, I mean, let's not be, you know, it's an amateur sport, but there's a lot of money being made and a lot of money to be lost or not be gained by not having Cade Cunningham in the building and playing basketball come March. So, you know, we're not going to be conspiracy theorists, but let's be real. There's a lot of reasons why the NCAA could be delaying this appeals process. And, you know, it makes sense. The NCAA, if you've watched anything that the NCAA does over the last decade, two decades, it's about the money. It's not about the integrity of the sport or the integrity of student athletics. It's about making money. The bowl system, the NCAA tournament, adding four more teams to get to 68. But I mean, we don't need 64 teams in the NCAA tournament, let alone 68 teams.
Yeah, I can't even watch the first four, to be honest with you. Like, I don't even know how many of you actually include that in your bracket. When you're filling your bracket out, like, I don't know how many of you guys are like, oh, I'm going to do the first four also. Most of us are like, yeah, we don't even care about that. We're going to fill out the original 64 and that other thing, just like fluff at the bottom of the bracket. I don't even know half those teams. I don't know half the league.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. And you know, Oklahoma got the benefit of having a superstar when it came to getting an automatic bid an at-large bid with Trae Young when they were 18-14. They had a really bad finish to the year, but they had the hot player in the country. They had this guy that was going to get some eyeballs on a matchup. And so I think if you took Trae Young off that team and they were 18-14, OU might've got that nod. So I think there is some fire to the smoke there that you're talking about, because there is an element to this. Like, we're putting teams in the tournament based on their ability, but also the brand. I mean, you see these big, you know, power schools that have history and tradition and would travel well to an NCAA regional. Those teams are going to get the nod over East Popcorn State. Like, I'm sorry, that's just going to happen. So it's worked in Oklahoma's favor, but you know what? Though Oklahoma didn't have a postseason ban when Trae Young came freshman. Yeah. So it's a big difference. That's the bone I have to pick here. And, you know, like I said, I don't want to go on a tangent about, because I'm sure like the people I'm talking about that are chirping about, you know, being super down on this team all of a sudden because they lost a couple of games, I'm sure that's probably the minority here. But I saw one guy specifically, John, say, talking about Kruger. He's like, you know, he relies on one guy too much. I mean, he did it with Blake Griffin, did it with Buddy Hield, did it with Trae Young. Now he's doing it with Austin Reaves. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, I mean, he didn't coach Blake Griffin. Jeff Capel coached Blake Griffin. Lam was taking the UNLV to this NCAA tournament when Blake Griffin was in Norman. Second of all, Buddy Hield went to the Final Four. So I'd say that experiment worked out pretty darn good because they hung the Final Four banner at Lloyd Noble Center. And Trae Young was Trae Young. And I think any coach in America would let Trae Young do what he did. So, and Austin Reaves is the best guy he's got right now that can create a shot. So, I mean, but that just kind of, those are the kind of knee jerk reactions that you see after an emotional overtime loss in Bedlam. And some of that's normal, some of that's fair, but I guess as I see that, I'm just thinking to myself, like, man, you're doing yourself a disservice as a fan if you can't keep some perspective about this team and understand that this team was picked sixth in the Big 12 for a reason. And the fact that you were in sole possession of second place a week ago is more about the fortitude of this team to overcome and to persevere and to overachieve than it is about them losing some games that are quote unquote upsets because they got themselves ranked high. So I think that's the perspective we have to gain here or maintain. And then also know, like I would mention in this earlier segment, was when they get in the NCAA tournament, they're going to be playing teams that aren't in the Big 12. They're going to be playing teams that don't have them scouted as well as these conference teams do. So there's a reason that, you know, somebody said, well, also I've heard, well, you know, Lon Kruger's teams collapsed in the second half. Well, shoot, man, part of that is they're playing the second half of the Big 12 schedule. And all these teams, they know every set you run. They know every out of bounds play. They know every underneath. They know every tendency of all your players, not just your tendency as a team, but they have everything scouted to the detail. They know what shoulder your guys turn to on the post. They know what direction your guy wants to get most of his shots from, on which half of the floor. They know all that stuff. You get into non-conference play, they have less film to evaluate. They have less, you know, working knowledge of you. So I think this team, with the discipline and the structure that they have, when they get into March Madness, it's going to be a breath of fresh air for them. And they're going to find it easier going in that first round matchup, whoever that is. And I just, you know, encourage you, don't get down on this team. Enjoy Bedlam tonight, because it was old school Bedlam on Saturday. It was everything Bedlam used to be in the 90s. It was fun. Oklahoma came out on the wrong end. I get it. I didn't enjoy it any more than you did. But, and it might go that way again tonight. I think Oklahoma State, in my opinion, I think Oklahoma State wins tonight by probably 7. But it's going to be good basketball. So enjoy it. Don't let it be a deterrent to your enjoyment of this team if they take another loss, because they are who they are. And they'll be a tough out in March, regardless of what their seed is.
And that's Real Talk with D-Walk. No, man, coming up next, hey, we're going to actually dig into that top 13 NFL draft picks from the Super Bowl era for the Oklahoma Sooners, written over there by the Sooners Wire. We'll also touch on a few news and notes from the OU Athletic Department weekend that was. Some big things happened there. So we'll talk about that coming up next here on the Locked On Sooners podcast.
But before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's easy to eat and is 100% covered in chocolate. They've got 18 great flavors, including new options like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp. My personal favorite has been the peanut butter brownie, but I also really, really enjoy that coconut almond and the German chocolate cake. They've got nut and non-nut flavors, and best of all, they're good for you. They've got 18 grams of protein and only 4 or 5 grams of sugar in most bars. They're fantastic, and they're always coming out with new options. So you can go to BuiltBar.com. You can find a way to get a variety pack, get one of each in an 18 pack, or you can get 3 flavors that you want to try and get 6 in a pack of those. Like I said, every so often I do an 18 pack just so I can retry each one of the flavors and figure out which ones I like best. And every once in a while I find a new one that I like the best. Like last time I got a variety pack, the German chocolate cake rose in the power rankings for me. So make sure you go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON20 to save 20% off your next order over at BuiltBar.com.
Hey, and I also want to tell you about our friends over at Country Leisure in Moore, Oklahoma. Hey, spring is right around the corner. That means summer is right around the corner. And now is the time to get into pool ownership. Have you thought about getting a pool? Well, now's the time to do it. The people over at Country Leisure, they've got you covered. They've been in business for 35 years doing above ground water or above ground pools. And it is the best and easiest way to get into pool ownership. But they've got you covered from everything from education, installation. They can get you installed in a day. But they've got everything covered. Not only do they want to help you get into pool ownership, but they want to help create an atmosphere for relaxation and connecting with your family and friends. I mean, I know that at times in my family, it's very easy to just sit around and we can get on our phones and not really be talking to one another. But when you're out at the pool or you're in the hot tub, you're not going to be looking at your phone. I mean, I don't want to drop my phone in the water. So I'm going to be sitting there having a conversation, relaxing with the friends, with the family. So make sure you go talk to the people over at Country Leisure. They can get you hooked up. They've got a great website, Country Leisure. They got a great website, countryleisuremfg.com, that has all the information that you could ever want. You can call them at 405-799-7745. And yeah, now is the time to get into pool ownership. Relax, de-stress. It's been a long year for everybody. With summer just around the corner, now's the time to take the step, get the pool. If you don't have a pool, but you like to go out to the lake, they've even got you hooked up for water toys, floats, rafts, things you can pull behind your boat. If you need it, you can go to countryleisuremfg.com as well. Again, that phone number is 405-799-7745. They're on I-35 and more. Country Leisure, just add water. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And speaking of the NFL draft is just around the corner. We're less than 2 months away from the first round starting, and several Oklahoma Sooners will be picked on day 1 and 2. Guys like Ronnie Perkins will probably be going early in the first round. You got a guy like Creed Humphrey, who's projected right now as a second round pick, but I can see him inching his way into the end of the first round as well. And Ramondre Stevenson probably be a top 100 pick at some point as well. But let's go through this list over at thesoonerswire.com. friends of ours over at the SoonersWire.com, run by managing editor Patrick Kahn. But Barry Warner put out a piece ranking the top 13 Oklahoma Sooners NFL draft picks in the Super Bowl era. And David, I want to give you a chance to guess these guys. Now, just to tell you, he didn't include anybody recently, like Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, CeeDee Lamb. Just basically he said it's too soon to add those guys to the group based on who was available for Oklahoma. So you just throw out some names. I think some of these you'll get, obviously. Some of these you may not. But just throw out some names, and I'll tell you if you get it or not.
Okay. Okay. Man, the fact that those guys are not included on the list means that we got a pretty good lineage to have 13 guys and not have those guys included. Uh-huh. Okay, so I will go I'll start off with Leroy Selman.
Leroy Selman was ranked number one on Barry's list.
Nice, okay. All right,
the faction of the Selman brothers.
Yeah, the leader of the Selman brothers faction. All right, so Leroy, and then I'll say Gerald McCoy on the list.
Gerald McCoy is on the list. He comes in at number – I lost it. Yeah, he's on the list at number seven.
All right. Gerald McCoy is on there at number seven. Okay, Trent Williams.
Yep, Trent Williams is on the list. Former high draft pick for the Washington Redskins, now playing with the San Francisco 49ers. He was number three on your list.
Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson was on the list. He came in at number five.
Okay. This is fun. I'm enjoying this. Okay.
You're crushing it, man.
I don't know. I'm getting nervous as we go. Roy Williams.
Yeah, Roy Williams is on the list. Superman comes in at number 11, I believe. Yeah, number 11 on the list.
Number 11 for Roy Williams. Okay. Let's go with Tony Casillas.
That's a negative Ghost Rider.
Ah, man.
The list is full.
Okay, let me see.
Which honestly might be a snub. We can talk about that afterwards.
Well, I mean, he made the buzz, so he said on Twitter last week in our Locked On Sooner Madness poll. So I thought he might have been on the list. Okay, Tommy Harris.
Don't believe Mr. Harris made the list. No.
Man, okay, that's two strikes for me. I got one more, then you can reveal the list.
Okay.
Go.
You're leaving off the most obvious one.
Don't say something like that. Adrian Peterson.
Yes. Adrian Peterson comes in at number two on the list.
Okay, man. All right. So I'm going to rally here. All right. So I got
So just to recap, you've got number one, Leroy Selman. Number two, Adrian Peterson. Number three, Trent Williams. Number five was Keith Jackson. And then you got number seven, Gerald McCoy.
Number 11, Roy Williams.
Number 11, Roy Williams.
Okay. I will go for my next attempt. I'm stalling right now. So I'm stalling so bad. Gosh, I'm going to go Jamal Brown.
Jamal Brown is on the list. He comes in at number eight.
Okay. Davin Joseph.
Negative. He is not on the list.
Pro Bowler. Give me a break. Tommy and Davin are Pro Bowlers. How can I not be on the list? Okay. Sorry. All right. I'm out of
All right. Yes. All right, so coming in at number four, you got the great Billy Sims. He was picked in the first round, 1980. Made 58 starts in the NFL. Had 5,106 yards and 42 touchdowns. So pretty salty. And then number six, current Oklahoma Sooners running backs coach, DeMarco Murray. Which to me, that might be a bit of a reach. I mean, he had a great kind of few years there with the Dallas Cowboys, and then he had one really good year with the Tennessee Titans. But interesting that he was that high. And then you've got Lane Johnson.
Oh, Lane.
Well, actually, before we get to Lane, sorry, number nine. Now this one's a bit tricky because we left off Baker Mayfield, but they included Mark Andrews. So
that's absurd.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Can't leave them. They graduated the same year. That's like a glitch there. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have got Mark. If you would have told me Mark was in play, I feel like I could have got Mark. But I'll digress. I'll say that.
Well, I mean, I think to your credit, like also there are several guys that you could have probably chosen to put on this list other than Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews has been really good in the NFL. But again, it's been a short period of time. And it kind of took a couple seasons for him to really get going because the Baltimore Ravens insisted on playing Hayden Hurst.
Anyway. Bonus guess. Is Chris Chester on the list?
No, sadly.
I mean, the dude played 11 years in the league and started like 140 games and went to the Super Bowl. I mean, that to me, like that, for example, that's more impressive so far than what Mark Andrews has done in a few short years. So,
yeah. And you can even make the case for him over DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, good. I mean, you're talking about longevity and you're talking about things like that. I mean, you got Davin and you know, Tommy are Pro Bowlers and they're not on the list. That's interesting. But
yeah,
hey, on my list, just talking about it.
All right. So then number 10 on the list was Lane Johnson, all pro, three-time Pro Bowler. Actually, no, I guess he wasn't an all pro, but Super Bowl champ. He's been one of the better, you know, tackles in the NFL for a long period of time.
Yeah, great athlete too. Dude can dunk the ball, do the splits. I think he's a great personality too. So I'll give him some intangibles there.
Yeah, one of the few guys that has a Dallas Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence's number a little bit. Now this one is a big time throwback at number 12. You got Greg Pruitt.
Oh. Yeah.
So he's a throwback. So he accounted for 13,000 return yards and more than 8,000 total yards in the NFL. He was a five-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner. So pretty solid career from him. And then at number 13, again, this one is probably a bit of a stretch. I think you could make an argument for some other players on there, but he threw Joe Mixon put him on the list. And Joe, I think, you know, Joe's had an okay career for the Bengals, but I've never really felt like he's taken that step into kind of stardom that everybody expected.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have had Joe Mixon or Mark Andrews on this list.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon hasn't even been to the playoffs, has he? I mean,
no.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, he's in a bad franchise, putting up some good numbers. But, yeah, that's a stretch to me. But
yeah, and I love Joe Mixon. I mean, I think at some point he could be a dynamic back in the NFL, but this hasn't had an opportunity to show it. But to put him on there over a guy like Tony Casillas, I mean, we were kind of joking earlier, but, I mean, yeah. Casillas had a great career for the Dallas Cowboys, went to Super Bowl. Like, he played a long time in the NFL. You know, you talked about Chris Chester. I mean, I think even Sterling Shepard, honestly, has more of an argument over Joe Mixon at this point. Because, I mean, not Sterling Shepard, but you can find Sam Bradford. I mean,
Sam Bradford won Rookie of the Year. I mean, that's a more notable accomplishment than anything Joe Mixon has done to this point.
Yeah. And so I feel like there's a lot of guys that you can kind of run down the list and say, I don't know about that. But anybody else you think was a snub off this list? There's so many. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's other guys you probably could have mentioned. I mean, thought about a guy like Kelly Gregg, played over a decade in the NFL and won a Super Bowl as well, a defensive line. So, I mean, there's guys out there. To me, when I look at the NFL, the guys that pop off the page to me are, if you've been in the league for a decade or more, playing at a high level, and you know, went to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, the fact that you were around the league that long, that says a whole lot to me. I mean, I put a lot of stock in the longevity in a league that is, you know, known in some circles as not for long.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, the fact that you can be in there for over a decade or even near a decade, if you play 8-9 years and make a Pro Bowl, I mean, that to me, like you're knocking on the door of the list just for those reasons alone. But yeah, fun list. And those are cool. You know, our guys at Sooners Wire do a great job. And if you don't follow along with them on Twitter and, you know, check out their content, you're missing out because they've got a great team over there. So appreciate the list to get to talk about it.
Yeah, speaking of Tony Casillas, Brianna Dix did a nice article over there at Sooners Wire talking about Neville Gallimore and what Tony Casillas sees in Neville Gallimore and why he believes he's kind of destined for stardom coming up for the Dallas Cowboys, which, you know, it's really interesting. It's a really fun kind of worlds colliding because you got former Oklahoma Sooners defensive tackle who also played for the Dallas Cowboys talking about a former Oklahoma Sooners defensive tackle who currently plays for the Dallas Cowboys. So that's a lot of fun. So yeah, again, go follow our friends over there at the Sooners Wire at usatoday.com. Good times. But hey, the Oklahoma Sooners athletic department just continues to do some great things. The softball team, I mean, they're trying to challenge Lincoln Riley for total runs and total points in a season, it seems.
Yeah, the softball team is just unbelievable. And I wish it was an easier watch you know, I wish there were more outlets for, you know, more ESPN opportunities for them and some other opportunities for them to get out there in front of the country with what they're doing as a lineup, because man, they put 33 runs on New Mexico. And I feel like I see a score like that. I'm like, man, I feel like the whole state of New Mexico gave up an earned run in that game. Like, who didn't get lit up in that game? So
yeah,
man, like, condolences to the New Mexico pitching staff and the psyche of that, to give up 33 runs in a college softball game is crazy. And the fact is, like, this is what's also staggering to me. Oklahoma softball team led by the great Patty Gasso, they're putting up these numbers, and I look and I'm like, man, they got to be the clear favorite to win it all. They're ranked number two in the nation right now. Right.
Yeah, it's unreal.
What? I mean, so I don't know if that says more about, you know, the quality of softball, that they can be that good and not be the clear number one, but it's going to be interesting to watch this team down the stretch and, you know, get to see a College World Series there in Oklahoma City, where, you know, they're looking right between the eyes at their 10th College World Series for Patty Gasso's squad. So it's going to be fun to watch them down the stretch here.
Yeah. I mean, even playing like MLB on EA Sports back in like 2005, I couldn't put up 31 runs in a game.
Yeah.
There's no way. Now,
I would have probably got bored before, by the time I got to 26, 27, I don't even know if I would have wanted to finish the game. I mean, right. to hang in there.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of kidding here, guys, but when you're dominating somebody that bad, there's a tendency to like, maybe like taking at bat off, right? To not have a good at bat. Like just say like, oh, we scored 28 runs or we scored 29 runs. I'm just going to go up there and just try to hit a home run to give us 30. But this team is disciplined enough that they're going to go up there and have good at bats and allow the results to take place, not try to dictate the results, but just allow the results to come based on good at bats, good pitch selection, passing the baton to the person behind you and getting on, you know, go to first base. If you take a walk, let the girl behind you come up and drive it somewhere. Right. And just, I think that's how this team is approaching each game. And when you do that, that's how 33 runs happens. It doesn't go up there by, you know, eight or nine girls swinging for the fence every time. It's they're having good at bats. They're disciplined in their approach. And that's the byproduct of that. It's not just going up there to, you know, play home run derby, although they probably could as well. You know, I mean, we got the Sultana of SWAT, Lauren Chamberlain. Her record is becoming in jeopardy a little bit with some of these Sooners that are just taking the ball out of the yard. So it'll be interesting to watch it, though. It's going to be a lot of fun this spring.
Yeah. Also miss me with the idea that they should have let off the gas at all. To me, I'm under the impression that if you're not going to be able to get me out, I'm not going to stop swinging. Like, you're not going to, I'm not going to tell my players to go up there and take three strikes. I'm just not.
Yeah. That's not college. That's not big time athletics. All right. This is not, and man, that's a whole, like, you can take sportsmanship and all that and throw it out the window to me when it comes to college athletics like that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on full scholarship. We all signed up to play the game. And I would say that for college football too, all this like, well, you can't throw the ball in the fourth quarter when you're up. Like, no, if you got your twos in there and they're going to run their reps, they're going to throw the football. They're going to run the whole playbook because that's their opportunity. In basketball, we're going to run our offense. We're going to get guys shots. And if you can't stop it, then you better get the rebound. If we miss, if you don't, we're going to go back and score. Yeah. And I don't care what the sport is. You play till the game's over. And I mean, if you're leaving your starters in and you're trying to run the score up, like, there's situations where it's probably not wise and you're putting people at risk of injury. That's different, a whole separate conversation. But mm-hmm. The idea of trying not to score or go up there and just like, we're going to take three pitches and go sit down and just get this game over with. Like, no, if they want to do that, they need to put a run rule in place. But if the run rule's not in place and they're going to play the whole game out, well, look, man, those kids missed out a lot of stuff last spring with COVID. So those are bats. They mean something. Yeah. So I'm just going to give those away because you're not having a good game.
Well, what's amazing is what they're doing. They're doing under run rules. Like, they're run ruling these teams. So they're playing four innings and scoring 30 runs in a game or 28 runs in a game. Like, it's ridiculous.
You want to say like, hey, once you get down 20, I don't care what inning it is, but it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't UFC here. We're not tapping right out when it gets a little painful. We're going to finish the best we got. So
now, if 12-year-old John here, host of the Locked On Sooners podcast, can be on the receiving end of a 31-run beatdown when I'm sitting on the mound because I'm a terrible pitcher. That was never my position, but I always talk the coach into letting me pitch at least one game a season. And I'm giving up home runs and I'm walking the bases loaded. It's awful. I was a good ball player, but I could not pitch to save my life.
Hey, man, the Little League, though, they got a time limit for things like that. All right. I've umpired many a baseball game. We got a time limit. So if you can't find the strike zone, that's all well and good. But come an hour and 20 minutes or whatever, we're calling ball game. So yeah, we're going to get our Gatorades.
Yeah. In 2021, you do. In 1992, you did not. 1994, you did not have a time limit. So these guys could be, I could walk in seven batters and they don't care. And there's also no like stopping the inning if everybody's batted. Like you just keep going. It's like actual baseball.
Oh man.
So anyway, that's an aside, but hey, shout out to the Oklahoma softball team. They're killing it, crushing it. If you get a chance to watch these ladies play ball, it's fantastic. I mean, not just, you know, hitting bombs, but they're just playing good softball. So shout out to them. Also, we want to make sure we mention the Oklahoma women's gymnastics team, KJ Kindler, coach for the gymnastics team. Not sure, 500 career win, 500 career wins. That's a lot. Now I know, you're getting multiple wins in these meets, but still, like that's a lot of wins in a career. And if you get 500 of anything doing any sport at any point, you're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, and I just want to say this too about women's gymnastics there at Oklahoma. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and neither one of us are going to pretend to be,
no, we're not experts,
you know, Olympian quality judges here. Although I will say in full honesty that the gymnastics in the Olympics is one of our favorites as a family. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going all the way back to like Dominique Dawes, Shannon Miller, Dominique Muciano, all the greats when I was growing up. I mean, that was always, I mean, Shannon Miller, the great, you know, from Edmond, Oklahoma, obviously. But that is a fascinating sport to watch. And we're sitting in a restaurant over here in Legacy West here in Dallas on Friday night. And my son goes to the bathroom by this bar. They got a bunch of big TVs and all that stuff. He comes back and John, you had actually just sent me a tweet or a text or something about the OU gymnastics team that was on TV or whatever. My son comes back from the bathroom. He's like, "Dad, OU's gymnastics team's on TV." Like, he was all excited about it. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, my 7-year-old is seeing the OU women's gymnastics team on TVs in a restaurant in Dallas. I think that's cool for the sport. It's cool for the program that they have, you know, a presence there. That it was Fox Sports. So, I mean, it wasn't ESPN, it was Fox Sports, but the fact that, you know, restaurants in Dallas are showing OU gymnastics, that's pretty neat. So I think that speaks to advancement in some of these secondary sports, like the non-traditional sports, that they're getting that type of exposure, that type of coverage. And, you know, obviously we're talking about it too. So they're doing some great things, but yeah, I thought that was a neat thing there. And one other thing, just kind of around the, you know, around the Sooner program news and notes, OU legend Buddy Hield, who I will predict will soon have his jersey retired at Lloyd Noble as well, became the fastest player in NBA history to hit 1,000 three-pointers here tonight. So this is on here on Sunday. So Buddy Hield in 350 games has hit 1,000 three-pointers. So shout out to Buddy Hield on the fastest in NBA history to do that. That's pretty cool, pretty big time. And, you know, just a guy that continues to wave the banner for Oklahoma in the NBA. So a shout out to Buddy for that.
Yeah, it's really cool to see that Oklahoma's got such great star power in the NBA between Trey and Buddy, and even Blake Griffin as he's later into his career. But yeah, a lot of really fun things happening around the sports world, and Oklahoma's got their hands in every bit of it. I mean, we didn't even get a chance to touch on baseball got started up, even though things aren't really going well for them to start the season, still kick-started the season. Oklahoma men's wrestling is doing really well. So make sure you can go to Soonersports.com. If you're not up to date on some of these Oklahoma athletics, and you can go over there, you can watch the highlights, you can check things out over there, get up to date on the standings and what some of these secondary sports are doing. Cause man, Oklahoma athletics, they just run deep. They really do. I mean, football is great. Basketball is great. Softball is great, but man, they run deep as well into some of these other sports that you may not even consider. So make sure you go over to Soonersports.com and check those things out as well. But that's going to do it for today's show. We're going to sign off. I'm going to start better. Hey, but that's going to do it for today's episode. Make sure you are subscribed to this Locked On Sooners podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. You can check us out on Facebook, Locked On Sooners podcast. And if you got a take that you want to send us, hit us up at LockedOnSooners@gmail.com. I apologize for the guy that did send me a take back in February on college football playoff expansion and Real Talk with D-Walks segment on Florida. I did not realize that I had the email set to just the social and I didn't ever check the primary. So my apologies, Andy. We will definitely get to your tape. We will talk about that at some point because you had a lot of really great points in there that we want to cover. So make sure you go send us your takes over at lockedonsooners@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. You can also hit us up on our voicemail account set up through Google. David, hit him with that number.
That's 405-698-0789. Again, 405-698-0789. And look, man, I'm just sitting right here. Like I'm literally like the junior high boy waiting by the phone for the girl that said he was going to call, you know, like I'm just literally like sitting here by the phone, checking the voicemail. I'm waiting for somebody to bring something interesting to the table. It can be a hot take. It can be a good take. It can be, you just, you know, say, hey, you know what, guys, we love the show. It's great. Like, you know, we'll take those two. Yeah. Right? I mean, it didn't have to be controversial. It could be complimentary. We'll take that. We'll take those. We like them. We like the reviews too. If you want to go Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating, write us a review. We like all that stuff. But yeah, hit us up on our voicemail box. It's going to go straight to a voicemail. You leave a voicemail with your take, whatever you want to get out there. If it's good, if we like it, or even if we don't, we'll play it on the show and react to it and respond to it. So again, 405-698-0789. Don't make me be like that guy sitting there waiting by the phone. Give us a ring. Give us a shout. We want to hear from you. And let's get it.
Yeah, David, make sure that your family's not on AOL. Using the dial-up because you won't be able to get through. So
yeah, now get a upgrade from the dial-up.
Yeah, man, we are aging ourselves tonight. We talk about playing baseball in 1992 and AOL. So anyway, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you so much for listening. We love having you guys here and talking sports with us. If you're new to the show, again, make sure you go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on Apple, Google, Spotify, radio.com. Shout out to our new listeners. Again, thank you for joining us. That's going to do it for today. We'll catch you tomorrow. For David Walker, I'm John Williams. Boomer.
Sooner.